And we do the sound. We turn it all on.
Life's not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to poop, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it.
Hey everybody, welcome. We've got another great show for you. I wanted to get started immediately because we had a problem. We had a problem. Recorded an episode where I mentioned how angry I was at all of you because you didn't take my free shit shirts, okay? But apparently this has caused a minor stir. So I wanted to show how much I enjoy that people listen to this. And I was having trouble thinking of how to do that beyond saying, you are all so attractive. My God. Can we just get serious about that for a minute? Something about how, you know, you guys are real good looking. I don't know if I have any sexy music. I probably don't, really. I mean, what's a sexy song? I don't even know what a sexy... I'm going to just put in sex... Got like three songs that say sexy. This one's called Sexy Coffee Pot. Is that sexy? I don't know if that's sexy. I tried putting in Marvin Gaye and only got a band named Gay Dad. Which is pretty... pretty good. Oh, you know what? I know what I have. Hang on here. Let's try this. Gay Dad. I'm going to change all my artists in iTunes to Gay Dad. Let's see. This is a nice fade in. I'll just fast forward and then fade in myself. There we go. So listen. You're all extremely attractive. Girl and guy, and to an equal or greater extent, my own brother who listens to this show. You look good. Summer, I seen you wearing them shorts. You know, I saw the front top part of your leg. I saw the back underneath side of your leg. That same leg and all the side parts that wrap around, and damn, wow, that's like if you turned sex into some legs and put them in shorts. That's you. And furthermore, your personalities only make that even better, okay? It's like if you took sex and wrapped it in a leg and shorts and then put sex in a brain. You know, they say the best and most important sex organ is the brain. For you guys, I think that may be true. Which isn't to say that you don't have great penises and vaginas. I'm sure that you do. I haven't seen many of them, of the people who listen to the show, for the most part. I haven't seen all of your penises and vaginas yet, but I'd like to. I'd love for you to come by and show me your penises and vagina, or balls, breasts, butts, thighs. You know, if there's part I haven't seen already, based on that description. We could talk about sex, baby. Or not. We could talk about Salt and Peppa, who wrote that song. I get sexy just talking about them. That's close enough for some of us. But I just wanted to say, damn. You guys are so fucking sexy. I don't know if anyone told you that today. I'm sure they probably did, unless you're listening to this first thing in the morning before you emerged from your bed, which I would recommend you do. Just, you know, if you're still in bed, it's nice and warm but not sweaty in there. You know, feel free to caress, I don't know, your upper arms or something. Let's not get crazy, huh? I don't need to be... You guys are doing fine by yourself. I'm not going to involve myself in it. We're not going to have pod sex here. Okay? I don't know if that exists. Does any porn star put out a podcast where it's just them talking, you know, like a phone sex line? That would be a great, great idea. I should do that. I mean, except I'm not a porn star. That's the problem. Should I try it? See what happens? I think I'm going to run out of sexy song in about 45 seconds. Which is a problem. You know what? I'm going to have to open up like some Spotify here or something so I have some sex music so we can do porncast. And we'll see. We'll see how good I am at getting sexy. So this gives the rest of you plenty of time to tune out before it's all said and done. Oh, and it's going to be said and done. Real done. Someone at my work was saying, telling me about how someone else at my work had attempted to set me up with a friend, you know, a couple times, and it didn't work for whatever reason, which, you know, I wasn't too surprised by. Because really, you know, whatever surprise... This is not sexy, is it? Is this about a child? I mean, if you find this sexy, you really can't listen to this show anymore. I really don't want you wearing my shirts or anything like that. I'd prefer that you didn't. So what's sexy music? Let's see what we've got here. Make a little sexy playlist. Yeah, let's see. Oh, that's a good one. I don't know how to scroll here. This is really hard. I should have done this before, huh? Because this is kind of a dumb thing to do now. I mean, here's the problem. I don't really know. To me, sexy music is the one that's like... you know, from the 90s. Let's see if I can find a nice slow jam. Let's call them slow jams, huh? God damn. I mean, these guys put out some real long albums here. Stuff like this, let's say. Oh. Is this even old? I have no idea. I mean, I don't know if I could really have sex to this music. Maybe if I just searched sexy... Here we go, some playlists. Summer sexy, sexy beasts, cool and sexy. Let's try that one. The fuck is this shit? I mean, people must be having sex for a much longer and slower time than I'm accustomed. Yeah, okay, this will work. I guess, right? I don't know. Can I skip to the next song? This is Hot Chip. I mean, I don't understand what people find sexy here. Here we go. Here's like some topless people on a beach. No. 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 Jesus Christ. I don't think I could get hard to this song. I gotta be honest. I don't think it's pop. Ooh, Paris Hilton did an album? Well... There's one thing that says sexy. It's Island in the Sun by Weezer. Or Soak Up the Sun. Oh, Jack Johnson, you're back, huh? Oh, God. Sexy jams. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, this is much better. Okay. Thanks for listening to the Sexy Jams podcast. I'm Pete. Ramrod Pete. Gentle Pete the Gentle Ramrod. It's ready to get it on with you guys because, you know, I love you and I'm punishing myself for being a dick. So why don't you go ahead and pour yourself a nice glass of wine? Maybe if you're not into wine, you know, pour yourself a beer or whiskey, but into a wine glass. Okay? Because that glass is just the shape of a, you know, a real weird-looking woman's breast. And nothing makes me hotter than that. A real weird-looking breast. Why don't you take a seat over here on the couch, close to me? You know, you can tell where I sit on the couch a lot because the couch is kind of worn out right here. Nothing like an old beat-up couch to really get the juices flowing. Go ahead and drink that wine quick. You are not going to want to nurse that. Let me tell you that right now. Things are about to get real sexy. Just go ahead and slam that wine. I'm going to slam this booze. Damn. Why don't you get more comfortable by being part of the way nude? No need to get all the way nude. That'll come in time, sweetheart, honey bear, sex raccoon. I'm just gonna slide on over next to you. Don't mind that. That's just where I spilled spaghetti on my shirt earlier. Maybe I should take it off. And I've been farting in these pants all day, so I'm gonna slip them off too. Now I'm just wearing these old boxers, and it seems that they have a hole that my penis is vaguely visible through. How do you like them apples? How do you like them singular penis-shaped apples, baby? I keep drinking because that's the only way this works, huh? But not with you, because damn. Why don't you tell me about your day? Especially the sexy parts. Did you have to get anything out of an extremely low cabinet? And maybe someone could have seen your butt in outline in your work pants? Yeah, I thought maybe that could have happened to you if you do wear work pants, in fact. You seem like the type, if you know what I mean. Why don't we go ahead and adjourn this into the bedroom? Yeah, that's my bed. Go ahead and just stand there. I'm going to toss the comforters to get the spiders or possibly centipedes. We're kind of getting into centipede season soon. Get them off the bed. I don't think spiders are over 18. They don't want to see what we're doing. I don't know. Some of these might be. They're fucking huge, but that seems like a long life for a spider, huh? Maybe go ahead and lay down naked and, you know, touch my naked body to your naked body and sort of slam those into each other for a while, huh? Yeah, that's good. Okay, are we done? Is that enough? I think, are we satisfied that this is not a realistic option for anyone? Thanks for listening to my porncast. I mean, I made it like 5 minutes. Maybe that's why, because, you know, it's boring. You could just record 10 episodes in a row. You just have to have more topics, maybe, then. Come sit down. You'd have to, you know, be like, oh, we're going to do like a hot tub one, and then we'll do like a whirlpool one, and then we'll do like a regular temperature pool one, and maybe do like a therapy pool one for people who had amputations and stuff. Really mix it up. That's when the sex really starts flowing like, you know, wine. Let me say, like, the wine's going to flow like a river or something. And it's like, I don't know, a river of wine sounds grotesque to me. I don't like that. Whiskey River sounds okay. You know, that seems like a thing that could be flowing down. I don't know. It seems like river water in a way. Maybe that's why I'm okay with it. I did also want to do one quick thing to explain myself, you know, and sort of apologize here. And it is this. I wanted to prove to you that I care for you more than most podcasters care for their listeners. And the way I'd like to do that is to explain. I don't know how many of you listen to other podcasts. I hope you don't listen to other podcasts because then you can just listen to this one. But at the same time, I hope you do because there are some pretty good ones out there. One of the biggest podcasts is Adam Carolla's podcast, right? So he wants to make another movie. So his plan is to crowdsource, you know, basically do a Kickstarter Indiegogo thing for his movie. And you could, you know, so he sends out this email to, God knows. And so I get this email in my inbox today that's basically asking me to donate money to his movie. You know, he's got a podcast studio he does in a garage with a bunch of cars and dirt bikes. I am in the shittiest apartment you've ever seen in your life. I just cut the bottoms off of some curtains so that they fit the window, because this is not a standard window size, okay? That's one of the differences in our life. So I get the email asking, and here's how much he cares. You know, it's a nicely formatted, it's got a nice picture at the top, and, you know, the title and all that stuff, and then here's how it addresses you. Hi, bracket, first, close bracket, comma. And then the letter begins. So here's what happened. This form letter was designed so that you would put someone's first name in there. You know what I mean? So it would be like, hi, Pete. And then it says, Adam Carolla here with some exciting news for you. But instead what it says is, hi, bracket, first, close bracket. Adam Carolla here with some exciting... Well, what a nice personal way to start out, you know, asking me for money. That's a real... real nice way to do it. You know what I mean? Oh, someone wants to be my chat friend. xobaby.laura75@instantmessenger.com wants to chat with you. I don't think so. Anyway, here's all I'm saying is like, that's kind of a big fuck up because I'm assuming this went out to many, many people. And, you know, it just says hi. It would be better to just say hi or hello or just start right in. You know what I mean? I know what this is. But high brackets first is just like, ah, fuck them. Who cares, you know? Got a lot on my mind. So that's one thing. I think that, you know, I'd like to think I'm a little more personal for all this, you know? And you go to the page, too, and you can donate starting at $10. You can donate up to $16,500. You know, and there's different levels all the way up to here to where you can, like, literally buy yourself an extra part in a movie. You know what I mean? Ow, shit. So I just, I mean, it's very, it's fine. I don't, you know, I don't know. It's not about him having money and me not having money. But what I'm saying is, you know, I think I'm doing a decent job. I respond to you guys on Twitter. I'll talk to you on Facebook, whatever. I make it very easy. Here's the other one I wanted to demonstrate. Kevin Smith does a ton of podcasts for free, which I appreciate, but here's how they all begin.
Oh, that sounds like that sweet bird of salesmanship. He don't bite, he just buys. He don't peck, he just checks you out.
So, okay, he's selling us some shit.
At the counter.
So far, we've had nothing, you know.
He's a checkout bird.
30 seconds of this little joke about this bird. And so here's what he's going to sell us. He's going to tell us about they have some live dates. This is a thing that podcasts do. They talk about their live dates. I get it, to make money. But here's the problem. You know, he'll be like, all right, we're going to be in Portland on this day, L.A. at this day, and New York on this day. And I say, that's fucking great. Also, this podcast is like a year old. So this already happened. I couldn't have made it to any of those shows. And fuck you. Here's the other problem with the Kevin Smith one. Let's see. I just skipped to 3 minutes.
shit like that, mixing up my references and whatnot. Then Get Old, Jay and Silent Bob. Get
okay,
old.
We're still going. 3 minutes and 30 seconds. We're still going.
Brand new episode of Smoothie.
Here's
Rangers
coming up to 4 minutes
with Roger Corman and William Shatner. Give that a listen. It's pretty damn fascinating. Brand new plus one.
That's 4 minutes. He's talking about stuff.
Canada, you can
4.5
space on the Space Network. We're on Space Channel, I should say.
Okay.
Which costs you 9 minutes.
5 minutes.
Give you hours of enjoyment as you make me
five
something
fucking
I
minutes.
Can't do in real life. Fucking fly. If that don't tickle your fancy, you want to watch more free shit, you're like, where's more free? In the meantime,
5 minutes and 45 ado, seconds.
Man, enough whoring, man. Let's let that bird fly. Go ahead, fly, little bird.
Okay, see if we make it to 6 minutes before the show starts.
Shit. Get ready for a brand new Smodco podcast starting now.
5 minutes and 57 seconds of advertise of bullshit that you can't even go to. Now, he's got every right to do that. I'm not saying he can't do, you know, you can do whatever the fuck you want. I just talked about, you know, fucking coming all over somebody for 20 minutes at the top of this show. All right. But here's what I'm saying. You guys are valuable to me because you're so small a number of people. And so are your waistlines, I'm sure, are very small because you're all slim and attractive. I don't know if I mentioned that. But, you know, I don't have anything to sell you. I just like that you guys listen. That's all. I wanted to check this, too. Oh, look at this. This is from the previous week. Does that sound familiar?
Oh, I hear that, man.
Interesting. So you get it twice now. 2 weeks in a row. Okay, here's another week. Here's 3 weeks before.
It's our own show.
At 3 minutes.
Now we go up
5 minutes.
Canada's version of...
Okay. This show starts at 6 minutes and 30 seconds is when the actual show begins. 6 minutes and 30 seconds of him rambling on, telling you a bunch of shit that doesn't matter. You know what I mean? And you hear the same shit. Let's try another one. Okay.
So you're saying.
Okay, so you hear that same one about 4 or 5 times. That same 5 minute thing 4 or 5 times. So you're listening to 20 minutes of ads. You know what I mean? And it's the same ads. Do they further convince you or do they just, you know, is it just something to fast forward through because you're upset about it? Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that. Let's move on to the real show, huh? I feel like, you know, we didn't even really like do a show. I don't know how to, like, kick off a show or something like that. I feel like we need to, like, restart, you know, now that I've just explained to you how I love you all physically and, you know, whatever the other way is. Fucktily? I don't even know. Let's really start this show off right, though, huh? Let's get something going. Do a real show, huh? Sorry that I always get so drunk. Hey, everybody. I just wanted to do a show today and talk to you about nothing important. I just got back from Phoenix, Arizona. And wanted to tell you all about my travails and travails. And drinking too many beers in the airport. So I left on a Wednesday night. You know, went to the airport. It was pretty great because there weren't very many people there, you know. Plenty of bastard kids, like always. Can people stop flying with their fucking kids? I'm, you know, I know this is like a hilarious joke. But fuck that shit. There's been this thing going around online of like, these parents know what to do when they fly with kids. And it's like these little baggies. You put a bunch of candy and shit in them. And it's for the people in the seats surrounding them that are like, I'm sorry, our kid's fucking annoying. Here's some earplugs and some shit. First of all, booze, fuckers. Second of all, money. Third of all, instead of just, you know, I don't like that. Because here's what they're doing. They spend $10. You know, I spent $250 to get on this goddamn plane. you're spending $10 and then it's kind of my fault if I'm pissed off because your kid's fucking annoying as fuck. You know what I mean? Here's what you do. You give them a Benadryl, they pass out, and everything is fine. Okay? No one's going to question you. No one's going to say, oh, that baby seems really logy. Is he okay? It's a fucking baby. You know? I don't even know if you put the baby, if you walk it through. I couldn't walk through the goddamn security with my wallet. How are you walking through the baby? How do I know what's stuffed in there and not stuffed in there? You know, there's still spaces in between their skull plates. You could have just pushed something in there like Silly Putty. You know what I mean? Push plastic explosives, made him a little cradle cap out of plastic explosives. I don't know. Anyway, get to the airport, and I checked my bag, which I think, here's the rule for checking a bag, or if you can carry on. Here's the rule. It's very simple. Can you lift and hold your bag over your head for 10 seconds? If you can't, then you need to check your bag. It's too heavy. You know what I mean? Just because you can physically cram a bunch of shit into a bag that's allegedly the correct size does not mean that it's ready to go overhead. And plus, every fucking movie I see, you know, day before we fly back, I see World War Z blows up half the plane with a grenade. Always the luggage comes tumbling out of the top things. I don't know if that's just a movie effect or if that was what really happens, but if that's what really happens, I don't really want 75 pounds coming down on top of me in a hard rolling suitcase. But I think there's a war going on. And here's why, because I always wonder at the airport, I wonder why they don't encourage you to check your bag. And in fact, they charge you to check your bag. What's up with that? You know what I mean? I mean, why can't they let me just carry my bag? Okay, I'll carry it through a security thing and then throw it on the conveyor. I don't need it with me on the plane, right? No, I don't need my fucking, you know, my gym shorts on the plane. I'm probably not going to change into shorts on the plane. But here's what I think it is. There's a war afoot. There is a conflict happening. And what it is, the lady who works at the check-in counter, okay, she's hoping that you carry your bag on. Because whenever I check my bag, they always say, you're checking that? You could probably carry it on because I don't take a huge fucking bag. But I say, no, I don't really want to carry it around in the airport. This thing weighs like 20 pounds, you know, which isn't a lot, but when you're just sitting around in the airport... Thank fucking Christ I did on the way back, too. And also, you know, I'm like, I just bring my adult-sized toothpaste with me. You know, I'm not getting suckered into Target's travel aisle every fucking time I want to get on a plane. You know. So I'm just bringing my shit. I just threw it all in my bag. I'm leaving. So, it's your problem. So I check my bag. Now, the woman is standing at the counter, you know, and you put it on that scale. And then she looks at it, and my bag probably only weighed like 15 pounds. So she picks it up, and without taking a step in any direction, just by whipping her torso around, heaves, throws, hurls my bag, you know, the 5 feet back onto the conveyor belt, and it smashes onto the wall and then lands onto the conveyor belt. And then turns around and looks back at me like, anything else, motherfucker? You know. I'm not asking that people treat my shit with respect. But you know what, motherfucker? How about you treat me with enough respect to not throw it? I'm not saying you can't throw it back there. Wait till I leave and then throw it. You know what I mean? Don't do it right in front of me. That's the difference. You know, it's like when you kill someone's dog. You wait till they go to work. Okay? You don't just do it when they're standing there and walk into the yard and give them a piece of raw bacon and stab them in the chest with a knife. You do that when they're at work, so they don't have to live through it, okay? So anyway, for her end of the job, it's much better if I don't check my bag. Then I'm responsible for it, but if, you know, if I do check it, she's got to heave it all the way, she's got to put that sticky tag on it, she's got to do all this shit. But fuck 'em, I don't care. So then, you know, she heaves it on there, and it's really funny. I mean, I was watching them load the plane. There's this nice bar in the airport where it seems like I end up in that terminal, and you can just kind of watch the goings on. It seems like they almost purposely throw the bags on the conveyor. It's like they're body slamming them front down. You know what I mean? I would go so far to say is they are attempting to make sure that the bags go on there oriented incorrectly. Like, they have no interest in making sure your bag gets on there correctly. They just fucking whipping them around, and, you know, it's like watching those backyard wrestling tapes. I'm surprised they don't, you know, put your bag on the conveyor belt by jumping off one of those stupid huge ramp tunnels and pile driving your bag into the ramp, and then it, you know, your broken items just go up the fucking ramp. So anyway, in the airport, everything's cool. You know, I have my airport times. No one working at the shoeshine zone, which I wondered about this, because apparently I don't know how the stores in the airport work. Is it like one set of people that work at all the stores? Is there like a, you know, a Hudson News crew, and you may work at any one, or is that your Hudson News? Do you have a franchise that you open at the airport? You know, oh, I have a McDonald's. I guess I'll open in the fucking airport. But what I don't get is the shoe shine. Like, do they pay rent to the airport? Do they pay a percent? Because I don't know what they'd put there instead. You know, I don't know what they would have instead of a shoe shine zone. It's not like you could say, oh, well, okay, we'll just put in a fucking, you know, some other slave-like activity over here. Where, like, a young black man rubs a cloth on a white man's business shoe. And they had, by the way, they had rates up. They had a rate up, you know, how much it would cost to clean athletic shoes. What the fuck? You know, clean your own fucking athletic shoes. So goddamn athletic all the time. But I wondered, because if the airport owns it, the way I see it, if that shit's closed, I'm sitting in those chairs. Those chairs look pretty good, you know. And I'm starting to think that maybe after my ride home, we'll talk about more. Maybe those shoeshine things are there because it's like, fuck it, I got a lot of time to kill at this airport. You know, I don't know why airports don't have more stuff to kill time in a more pleasant... How is there no arcade in the goddamn airport? You know what I mean? They wonder why. They're like, people are always cutting it close. You know, we recommend that you get here 5 hours early. To which I always think, well, give me something to fucking do there then. You know, make it worth my time. We get on the plane. You know, everything's good. It's a nighttime plane. So this woman gets on the plane. She's sitting towards the front. You know, she's like one of the early boarding people. Plane is probably a third full. And I'm sitting towards the back. You know, I got on, so they board this way. They say, like, okay, retarded people and babies, let's get you on the plane so you can be very agitated by the time we land. Then, you know, then we'll board, you know, our special people who paid money. Then people board who have no carry-on luggage. So that's me. And I get on the plane, so I'm towards the back. And this lady, the plane's about a third full. People are still getting on, fucking around with their luggage. She comes, like, walking back past me and goes in the goddamn bathroom. Now, she got on after me. She could not have been in her seat for more than 5 minutes. If it was more than 5 minutes, you know, I'll shoot my head off. And she's in that bathroom and then comes out, and then everything's fucked up. Because people are filing in, and now she cannot get back to her seat, which is near the front of the plane. Now, I ask you this as an adult. How bad do you have to pee to get up that part of the flight and not have peed in the airport? Now, I had a little almost pee incident on the way back. However, our plane was delayed for 3 hours, and I drank a bunch of beers, and I held it for like 2 hours, my friends, okay? Because I didn't want to be that person. Didn't want to be the fool in the bathroom when the plane's trying to take off. What a fucking dope. What a dodo bird. Get there. Get to Phoenix. It's about 10 p.m. and 90 degrees. I was wearing a sweatshirt when I exited the airport. At first I thought, well, it's hot right here. But you know how airports have that heat to them? Because it's all just basically parking lot. It's like being at a huge parking lot carnival or something. And I thought, oh, it won't be, you know, so bad. And then finally leave the airport, and I'm waiting for the train. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's fucking terrible. First thing, I'm sitting waiting for the train that goes through town. Guy comes skidding up on, like, a crazy BMX bike. It has so many shock absorbers on it. I don't even know if those are legitimate. You know what I mean? Like, handlebar shock absorbers on each handlebar and shit. Is that even, does that even do anything? Who knows? Comes skidding up. You know, and he's dressed crazy. Pulls out from his backpack. He's got a shooter. A mini, as I like to call it, of 99 bananas. Slams that shit. Then drinks a bunch of Powerade. You know, and throws the whole thing in the garbage. And I'm thinking, this guy is ready to fucking party on a Wednesday. He just had his 99 bananas mini. He's had a pink Powerade, and he's on his crazy bike. He is going to have a ball. So I went home, you know, caught up with my brother. Phoenix has some great weird bums. I'm always interested in the bums whenever I go somewhere. I think I fear becoming a bum someday, and I wonder how they live. They're like this weird subculture. You know, when I learned to ride motorcycle, the first few times you ride, it's very weird, because you're sitting at a stoplight, and your feet are just on the fucking road. You know, it's sort of like you're walking, but you're surrounded by cars, and you're very outside, very exposed. It feels different. You know, you feel like you're part of this whole different thing. You get really into shirts that have buffalo on them. But bums are like this whole, you know, I don't know how they live. I don't know where they go. Where do they scuttle away when the lights are on? And so I see this bum lady get on the train. And I wasn't totally sure she was a bum lady. She had scraggly hair, but she looked kind of clean. You know what I mean? And didn't look dirty, per se. Her clothes looked okay, but here's how I knew she was a bum. She had that shopping cart that's not the normal horizontal shopping cart. It's the vertical shopping cart. It's only got two wheels, and it's like a rolling suitcase, but made out of shopping cart material, you know, it's basically a cage for your items, so everyone can see your shit, which is perfect for a crazy homeless lady. Because what convinced me she was a weird homeless was it was jammed full of weird-looking old stuffed animals. And during the train ride, she selected one of these stuffed animals and was sort of clutching it, you know, like a child. And I was like, oh, fuck. It's a weirdo. Happens to get off at the same stop as we do, you know. So we're walking away from the train. She's, you know, she's a ways in front of us, and we're just chatting. And my brother's saying, yeah, I think, you know, he's not being particularly loud, I guess. I'm sure she could hear us. But he's saying, well, I thought that I'd sleep in the living room and you could sleep in my bedroom on the bed. And I'm like, all right, well, whatever. And he's like, well, I just, my living room. This lady turns around, fury in her eyes, and says, would you shut the fuck up? Like, screams at us, you know? And we're both just sort of surprised because I don't, you know, what do you say to that when you're talking about the sleeping arrangements, staying at your brother's house at a normal volume, and it's not like she's in her bed, she's walking the streets in front of us, you know, will you shut the fuck up? So my brother just kind of said, okay, sorry, you know, and we just kept walking, and she, you know, she does this thing too, she kind of goes like, fucking fuck, you know, walking away, like, can you believe these assholes talking? It was very strange. I mean, you know, perhaps she thought we were flaunting the fact that we had not one place to stay the night, but two, because we were not lady bums with crazy stuffed animals. I don't know. I don't know what goes through the mind of a lady bum, nor do I want to. But that was, you know, sort of what greeted me to the neighborhood. And we go to his place and get inside. So it was hilarious because he's moved there, you know, like a month ago. But when you do the math, he hasn't really been there, you know, maybe a week. He's actually been in town. So his living room is just basically if you, you know, back the truck up to the window and dumped all the items loose into the living room. It's just all over the place, you know. So I get in there, I was like, Jesus Christ, you know, what the hell is, this is insane. But, you know, Because I thought he'd been there a month, but he'd been there like a week. So what are you going to do? So I slept. Everything's cool. Although it was so fucking hot. So it gets to be about 120 the 2 days, you know, the next 2 days. And you could feel when I was laying in his bed, I could touch the wall. And when I touched the outside wall, it was warm. You know what I mean? The bricks were warm. And I just immediately knew that something had gone bad, you know? And he's saying, yeah, I recommend that you take like a couple glasses of water to bed because, you know, it gets pretty, pretty hot. So I get up the next day and I walked around. Here's how hot it was. Somehow, I mean, I was just wet all day, underpants soaked with sweat, you know, backs of the knees. I would get maybe the train from his place, 10-minute walk. My entire back would have a sheen of sweat on it when I was, you know, 2 blocks away. I could still see his house. Felt my back and thought maybe I should just go back, you know. But I persevered. I made it to the train. Went and ate some breakfast. So I went to this place. This is a weird thing I don't like, too. You know, you've got your Hooters. You've got your Tilted Kilts and whatnot. This is fine with me. I don't have a problem with that. Because you know what you're getting into. You know what I mean? It's not like some guy's going to, Hooters, what is this? Some kind of nature conservancy restaurant? Owl-themed, like a rainforest cafe? That sounds very nice, you know? It gets there and it's, oh my god, I had no idea. This was mostly centered around the fact that women have breasts in weird tops and they wear insane orange shorts. And leggings. You know, I don't even know where you buy those kind of leggings. I don't know if it's possible. You probably just have to get them at Hooters, and then they retire them when you leave. Or they probably just put them in the dishwasher, that huge Hobart at night, and just blast them out. I don't know. Because they can't be making those anymore, can they? Who the fuck is wearing them besides people at Hooters? So I went to this breakfast place. And it wasn't until, you know, partway into the breakfast that I realized, oh my god, this is like all these girls working here are wearing like short shorts, you know, and tight small t-shirts. And I thought, maybe it's the weather, but then the more I looked and the more I thought, I was like, I don't know, man. This seems to be like a uniform of sorts. And I did not like that. Because I didn't know. It wasn't fair. I didn't know. This was called Matt's Big Breakfast, you know. It was not called Matt's Little Shorts. Matt's Big Breakfast with Little Short Ladies. And I'm sitting at the counter, which is what I prefer because I'm by myself. But this lady is doing all this stuff work in there. So she's like bending over around the counter and to get out the orange juice and da da. And I'm like, I'm trying to eat a breakfast here. This is not what I'm looking for. Look, I don't want like a thing happening. I had to pretend to watch fucking ESPN. Me. Watching ESPN in the morning. You know, apparently some football guy maybe shot some people, and we're all very surprised about this. He plays football. How could he shoot somebody? You know, so I had to watch that and be terrified that someone might ask me my opinion on something sports-related, and I have to be like, I don't know, I'm really just sort of looking at the TV as a moving image at this point. I do not understand. I might as well have traveled from caveman days to now and just be watching it to say, like, my God, this is, you know, what are these strange garments this man is wearing, you know? What race is this man? He's clearly not white like me, but he's also not black. I don't understand. You know. Anyway, I would prefer that we kept the, you know, the TNA at the TNA room. That's a tea room strip club I invented that closed immediately because there were terrible burns on some of the fine ladies who worked there. Bless your hearts and a speedy recovery. So after that, I went to the library because it was close by and I realized I could not walk very far. At a time. I was so hot and so sweaty. The first day walking around, I truly injured my own penis because it was rubbing up against, you know, wet fabric underpant, and I was trying to walk and it was so hot in there. It was like almost like I blistered my own penis with the heat. I could feel the heat coming through the bottoms of my fucking shoes. My feet were swollen. My feet were almost too fat to fit back into my shoes the next day because they were swollen and burned. Around the library, I mean, big fucking deal. Then I went to the art museum because they had a art of video games exhibit. I tell you something I hate about the fucking every art museum is, I mean, I hate everything about most art museums. They're really annoying. But you know what they did, these assholes? They give you a ticket and it has a sticker on it and they say, just stick the sticker to your shirt because then we know you belong here. Which I don't understand, because what is happening? Are people... No one's sneaking into the fucking art museum, believe me. No one's like, you know, we gotta get in that fucking art museum, see some of that Van Gogh shit, huh? Without paying for it. I mean, if you don't have 20 bucks, you've got something bigger to worry about than a Van Gogh, my friend. You know, you gotta see something else besides a huge novelty-sized ashtray full of regular-sized cigarette butts. But, so I wear this sticker, and here's what's fucking dumb. As soon as I put that sticker on, I'm thinking, I gotta remember to take this dumb goddamn sticker off my shirt when I leave. So I look at the video games. It's pretty great. You know, just because it's video games and they're giant. They had these kiosks, told you about video games. This was a rare opportunity for me. So they had a thing about one of my favorite games, Metal Gear Solid. And, you know, you push the button and it would talk about it. And it said, this was an interesting game because you can have a moral choice, and they were trying to teach that violence is not the answer, and you could make it through the whole game without killing anyone. And they said that, and I was thinking, I guess if you don't count, you know, Sniper Wolf and Vulcan Raven, if those aren't people to you, you know, then sure. If you don't count Psycho Mantis, then I suppose you could make it through. But you know what? I count them. So here's how it was a rare correction. This was probably a rare time. This was the only time I would ever be able to make a correction at a fucking art museum based on some kind of knowledge. I would never in my life again can I imagine a scenario where I'm in the fucking art museum and I say, huh, you know, I'm not sure. You better check into your facts here, because I think that that was actually painted in the 17th century. Notice the brush strokes. That's really a 17th century tactic of painting. Or what? I don't even know what the terminology is, but I did know this. You know, that you do kill people. There's no way to make it through that game without killing anyone. But I didn't, because you know what else I thought? You have an exhibit called The Art of Video Games. They've probably never received more nerd correction letters than they have with that exhibit. You know, then I walked around the rest of the museum. Blech. You know, oil paintings of, like, nude ladies that you have no desire to see nude. My God. Is it a crime to paint someone nude who I'd want to see nude? One of the listeners of this show, perhaps? You know, and then they've got the room of old pots. That's always fun. You know, this is a coil pot that some Indian made to carry around rice. Oh, wow. Okay. That's like if some guy went to the museum 100 years from now and he was like, oh, this is an old jar that some fuckhead drank whiskey out of when he was doing podcasts. Oh, wow, you know, that's this is a container. What a container is an item that holds other smaller items that would be difficult to hold one by one. That's amazing. You know, what an amazing collection of shit, you know. This is what we call a scratch ticket. This one is very rare because it's unscratched. You know, not many survived unscratched from that era. You know, my brother and I played some video games, saw a movie. It was great. The heat was just so intense, you know. Saw another great bum. Basically, you know, he's one of these bums. It was funny to watch World War Z because you could see from a distance who was zombie and who wasn't because they looked... You know, the way they ran was weird. Bums you can spot at a distance, too. Because they're, like, staggering around, sort of like they're being electrocuted, but they also, like, very slowly electrocuted. You know, instead of jerking around fast, they jerk around slow. Let me tell you this about this and many of the other bums. I don't think that the heat is a great thing for the sort of bum scent of, you know, humans. I think the heat exacerbates this problem quite a bit. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air and it smells like old bum. Real bad. Real fuck. Because they're just baking. You know what I mean? They're outside. It's 100 degrees. This fucker, too. This motherfucker was so cracked out. Like, he was wearing these flip-flops and you could see his feet. His feet were black on the bottom and just cracked almost all the way up the side. You know, he must have been barefoot at some point because his feet did not look like the feet of a man. You know, his feet should be on display at the museum. That's what should be there. Be like, this can happen to human feet. You believe that shit? And I, no way, you know. I wouldn't have until now. You know. But, you know, it's one thing that they have in Phoenix a lot of, you know, so then I spent the next day, basically, I tried to get out of the house and then ended up just sort of hiding in bars. I don't think I could live in Phoenix for the simple reason that I don't know what I would do besides drink booze. I did end up buying a Nintendo DS from someone at a great price, and it came with some games because she was moving and we were in the neighborhood and, you know, I petered her down. She was petered out, and I petered her down, and I bought the fucking DS. It's got this game, Brain Age, you know, that's supposed to make you smart. So you take this test. So I took it drunk on the train, and the ideal is, you know, it's like 20 or something is the ideal brain age. So you take a test to see what your current brain age is, and mine was 60. You know. However, that's drunk me on the train. But what's nice is that sets the bar very low. So then your performance after that, you know, this little robot Japanese man on there is always saying, like, what a great job you've done. You're really improving. You're coming along nicely. And I say, thank you. You know. But I hope I'm as good. If I'm 60 and basically it's like drunk me now, this show is in great shape. I mean, there'll be no improvement, but, you know. We can maintain the status quo, that's for fucking sure. But I think it's a scam, too, because who's playing this game, you know, that's designed to get you down to brain age 20, and then it says, well, you're age 20, so fuck it, throw this game away. You know, you're doing great. I would advise that you don't, I mean, whatever you're doing is working, so stick with that, goodbye. And then it just, a little flare and it disintegrates itself, you know? That's not happening. You don't sell a lot of cartridges of Nintendo doing that shit, do ya? One thing I don't really like about Phoenix, okay? They like to do this. You go in the bathroom, and it's men's and women's together in a hallway. And you go to the toilet, and then you come back out, and the sink is out in the hallway. Like a shared collective sink. It's a big problem for me, because I don't like to wash my hands. You know, I do it when I'm at work just because I, you know, employees must wash hands. That's the rule. But other than that, watch out. You may be getting penis hands. But I just, you know, the logic of it doesn't make sense. Maybe it's because everyone's just sweaty there and they figure, fuck it, you need to wash your hands. But, you know, it doesn't give you the chance to do those things at the sink. Like, really look at yourself in the mirror and be like, oh, fuck me, you know, look at this. Is this growing here? I have a hair growing out of like a little dot on my neck, you know? I was thinking, how am I going to get this out of here? Couldn't bring my nail clippers on the plane, so fuck, I'm screwed. But yeah, I don't like that. I don't care for that. I don't know what the point of that is, you know, just to embarrass people like me who, you know, I think it would take, though, probably 1 year of living there before I just got to the point where I said, yeah, I don't wash my fucking hands. Are you crazy? You know, I was never doing it before. Now you just know. So shut the fuck up. I mean, what are we going to do? I'm going to suck on my finger? Okay, then let's just not worry about whether I'm washing my hands. You know, I'm not holding a baby right now. I think it's okay. So the flight back, you know, I get there early, nice and early, and sit, eat the worst Mexican meal of my life. And then find out it's delayed 3 hours. So I laughed and then went back to the Mexican place to have, you know, 3 or 4 more drinks. Just get smashed. And this was a big victory for me because, you know, this other guy comes walking into the bar, young-looking guy, and he gets a beer, and the lady says, all right, this is the last beer I can serve you, so make sure you nurse it, you know. And he's, like, confused, but says, okay, and it doesn't know what that means. So, you know, she was worried about over-serving him. But, you know, she served me a shot of beer and then another huge beer and was asking me if I wanted another shot and then another shot and a beer. You know what I mean? Keeps asking me, like, you want another shot and a beer? And I'd already had a margarita. So she was not worried. She recognized that I got skills to pay the bills. That was a big victory for me. But so then my comeuppance get on the plane. And shortly into the flight, feeling the pressure, the pee pressure, the urine pressure, the pee pressure. Thinking, oh man, I kind of got to go. Hopefully, the captain turns off the fasten seatbelt sign soon. Look at my watch and think, all right, you know, we haven't been gone that long. Then look at my watch again and thinking, it's been fucking half hour since I last looked. How long is this going to go, you know? Maybe he forgot. Did he forget? But I see people, you know, ringing the stewardess light. She came over, and I heard her talking to someone else and saying, yeah, he doesn't think it's safe yet, but he'll turn it off as soon as it is, you know? And I'm thinking, you don't know that. He may have just forgot. But, so I'm just waiting, basically. I unbuckle my seatbelt, and I'm starting to think, this is a two-hour flight. We're probably an hour in, and the light has not gone off yet. So I'm looking at my watch, and I think, all right, if this light doesn't go off in 15 minutes, the seatbelt light's still on, we're only going to have 45 minutes of flight left. However, that's 45 minutes of flight. Then it takes, like, another 15 minutes to get off. I'm going to have to hold this pee for, like, another hour, at least. And then a, you know, speedy walk through the airport to the bathroom where I nearly explode with pee. It's not, I thought I could make it. I was pretty sure. But at the same time, thinking, I'm desperately holding a pee for an hour. That makes an hour go by very slowly. I mean, a plane flight goes by slow. Imagine you're holding pee desperately at the same time. That's, you know, hold your breath for 2 minutes. See how slow that 2 minutes goes compared to watching Seinfeld. So I look at my watch and say, all right, if this doesn't go off in 15 minutes, I don't know what else to do other than to possibly basically go up to the flight attendant and say, look, I gotta pee. I am not a trouble... This is my classic speech, my Pete speech. Look, I'm not a troublemaker. Normally, I wouldn't do this, but I desperately need to pee. I have to go. I will either pee in the seat or pee in the bathroom in the turbulence. I know the seatbelt sign is on. I accept the responsibility. I'll sign a waiver when I get out. I gotta go. Then I thought, well, maybe what I should do is just, you know, cover my mouth, run to the bathroom like I'm vomiting. Because then it would be, what are you going to do? Uncontrollable, you know. And then, boom, the light goes off. And I'm, oh, fuck, thank fuck. And I'm getting up, you know, and I must have got up with some verve because there's a lady, you know, the middle seat's empty and then she's on the aisle and she looks up like she's got to get the fuck out of the way, which she did. And I peed forever. Peed so long that, you know, I just stand in there peeing, and it's one of those pees where you have to brace yourself against the counter or the wall. Kind of wish you'd sat down halfway through because you just can't believe how long it's taking. And finally, you know, pee out all the pee and then sit back down. I've not sat down for 2 minutes and the boom, the light's back on. I'm thinking, thank fucking Christ I got up and peed, you know. But here's what I'm saying. I had 4 boozes in the airport, you know, in the couple hours leading up to the flight. And I drank 3 huge bottles of water because I needed to compensate for the boozes. So I had a lot of liquid in my tum-tum. And lady, on the flight out, I still fucking held it for an hour and some minutes, okay? You didn't need to, I guarantee you didn't need to go. And if you did, God help you. You know, God bless you. Maybe you're a listener of this show and I'm being mean to you. I doubt it. But hey, fuck it. I'm sure you're a great lady and very attractive. Well, thank you all for listening again. Tune in next time when I talk about, you know, God knows what other wacky adventure that probably involves urine or shit. A lot of body fluid centric shows lately, but, you know, I was about to say we'll probably quit doing those for a while, but fuck you. No way. See you later. And his fist cut the smoke. I had an eighth of a second to wonder if he got the joke. And in the car, headed home, she asked if I had considered the prospect of living alone with a stay.